address of the president at the dedication of equestrian statues at Memorial Bridge, Washington, D.C., September 26, 1951.
Months ago, Florence, I delivered one of his statues from back of the journey before it was shipped to the United States. Now, here, we have all four the group in front of us. Front of us. And so I think we fit in a certain way into the general picture of our meeting and of my visit to the United States. For here you have portrayed, spiritual elevation, the art, agriculture, gallantry, and sacrifice. Surely all this can stand for the spiritual and material development of men, this humanity, this tradition, and this free determination to defend them is threatened. That is our common objective and the aim of our Atlantic community. But they represent something more. I mean the gratitude of us Italians for the generosity of the American people. These statues, remarkable expression of modern American art, were cast and finished in four different cities, Naples, Florence, Milan, Rome, by artisans and workers coming from all parts of Italy, some of whom are here with us today. Together, this group represents not only the gift of a government, but the action of the skilled and the skilled contribution of Italian industry and labor, which have been both efficiently supported throughout the land by Marshall Plan assistance. This aid is but one of the many proofs of United States friendship. It would be easy for me to recall others. Suffice it to mention the recent evidence we have had in this day that we can count on the sympathetic and effective cooperation of the American people, represented by their president and their government. We have in fact examined with you, Mr. President, and with your government many and complex problems, which go from economic and financial cooperation to the legitimate claims of Italy and the solution to that which perhaps is the most important problem, overpopulation. In the framework of our close cooperation and cordial friendship, the solution of this problem has accomplished considerable progress during the course of the conversations of this recent day. You and I, in facing and resolving this problem, aim above all at obtaining a better general settlement of advantage to the interests of the community of free nations. We cannot, however, underestimate the fact that this genuine, loyal, and constructive friendship between our two countries is one of the most promising elements in this troubled time. It is therefore with pleasure that on behalf of the President of the Italian Republic and of my government, and I am certain of all Italians in Italy and the world over, I offer to you, Mr. President, this token of deep gratitude. At the same time, I formulate the sincere wish that your country and mine, under the banner of freedom and justice and in prosperity, may always work together for democracy, progress, and peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
American people, I am happy to accept the gift of these four beautiful statues from the people of Italy. These statues were designed by American artists and made by Italian craftsmen. Italian foundries and Italian workmen, using the secrets of their craft that go back to the days of Michelangelo, cast these heroic figures in bronze and covered them with gold. These statues bear witness to the artistic tradition and the fine workmanship of the Italian people. Four of the craftsmen who made these bronze groups have come to this country for the ceremony, and we're delighted to have them with us. We're also fortunate to have with us a representative of the trade union leaders of Italy, who are striving for a free, democratic labor movement in Italy. These leaders are fighting in the cause of free trade unions and free people everywhere. The presence here of these Italian citizens testifies to the friendship and trust between the people of Italy and the people of the United States in the struggle for human freedom. Ever since the war, our two countries have been working together to preserve world peace. We have been seeking to create economic conditions that will make it possible for all men to do useful work and live their lives in freedom at the same time. The Italian people have made great progress, Mr. Prime Minister, since your last visit to Washington in 1947, your people have made progress in agriculture and industry. Industrial production in Italy is now 45% higher than it was in 1947. Electric power production is almost double what it was before the war. You've been moving forward in land reclamation and flood control. But this is not all. Italy is engaged in the program of economic and social reform. Low-cost housing developments have been created. Land reform is giving thousands of farmers a new stake in the land they work. The whole island of Sardinia has been freed from the scourge of malaria, and as a result, offers new and greater opportunities for economic development. We in the United States, regard steps like these as vitally important. We earnestly believe that the benefits of economic progress and increased production should be made available to all the people. That is why we are so glad to see the new developments that are taking place in Italy today. Italy is making progress by evolution and not by revolution. And it is progress that benefits the ordinary citizen. We are confident that the firm devotion to freedom and democratic principles that has guided you, Mr. Prime Minister, and your colleagues in office will result in further advances for the Italian people. Through these difficult years since the war, the Italian people have proved their right to participate fully and as equal partners in the great constructive tasks of the free world. I hope those pilots get a lot of pleasure out of that. During our conferences here, Mr. Prime Minister, we have discovered ways in which our two countries can continue to work together in the efforts of the free nations for peace and human advancement. It is clear that Italy cannot do its full share in this effort under the existing restrictions of the Italian peace treaty, as it does not give Italy the position of equality among the free nations to which it is entitled. Among other things, the treaty places unnecessary shackles on Italian efforts for the common defense of the community of free nations. We intend to do everything we can to see that these unfair restrictions and discriminations are removed. We also intend to keep on working for the admission of Italy into the United Nations. The Soviet Union keeps on vetoing Italy's membership. Other ways must be found to enable Italy to play a full and equal part in upholding the principles of the United Nations. In the economic field, we realize that one of Italy's biggest problems is surplus manpower, and that jobs and homes must be found in other lands for many of those who cannot be employed in Italy. The history of the United States shows that a nation is most fortunate if it can obtain the energies and skills of Italian immigrants. I hope we can set up an effective international program to help solve Italy's problem of surplus manpower. There are many places in the world where people from Italy are needed, and where they can lay the foundation for a prosperous future for themselves and their children. In addition to idle manpower, Italy has factories which could be used for defense production if they were not hampered by shortages of materials and lack of foreign exchange. When factories and workers in Italy stand idle, that is a needless loss to the strength of the free world. Actually, get it. Our government must take steps to use the resources of Italy's manpower and industrial production as fully as possible in the great mobilization efforts of the free nations for peace. The future of Italy lies not only in domestic progress, but also in closer ties and greater unity with the free nations that are its neighbors. We have followed with great interest the efforts of Italian statesmen to bring about a greater sense of European unity based on moral culture and values. We expect Italy, with its great religious and cultural heritage, to take a leading part in that effort. Greater unity in defense, greater unity in economic efforts, the removal of obsolete national barriers, from the North Sea to the Mediterranean, these are the things that are needed to provide not only security, but social and economic advancement for the peoples of Europe. Only by such changes can we preserve the fundamental values of the past. Only by such combined efforts can we counter the menace of Soviet aggression. Only through such cooperation by all can we raise the living standards and increase the opportunities of any single nation. In these great tests, Mr. Prime Minister, we wish the Italian people good fortune and speedy success. Rest assured that we are with you, and we'll do all we can to help you.